Help us go into your word this afternoon. We come in humility. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on me. Grant me fresh mercy, fresh unction, so that I will bring forth the word in purity, in truth, in clarity, in power, that this word will go forth into all of our lives, and it will make our wills more submitted to your will, our minds more illuminated with the revelation. So though we are in the world, we will not live in the world. Our emotions for the control by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, so that we might be doers of the things that we learn and not hearers only. We ask for the grace to do. Let shackles hindering us from doing, let it be broken. Let logs in our eyes hindering us from seeing, let it be removed. Help us, O God, that in this time in your presence, Lord God, there will be increase coming into our lives. Increase coming into the body in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. We ask for mercy to be faithful. Help me to be concise, to be precise, to redeem the time. Lord, saying only those things that you would have me say. And as a scribe instructed them to the kingdom, bringing forth out of the treasure world things new and old, that in your presence we'll be refreshed. In your presence we'll be edified. We'll be encouraged. We'll be strengthened and emboldened to do those things that you have commanded us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. This afternoon, the Lord dropped in my heart a word, and it's entitled, Time to Put on Strength. It is time to put on strength. God's heart has always been to make man in his image and in his likeness. We see that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. It says, let us make man, a divine counsel in heaven, in our image first, then after our likeness. And even though Adam lost that dominion, the plan was that making man in his image, fellowshipping with man in the cool of the day, ultimately man will be established in his likeness, which is his character, and therefore we'll be able to enforce his dominion throughout the earth. God's dream is going to be fulfilled. Amen. Adam's mistake, your mistake, is not going to change it. He's big enough, strong enough, merciful enough, kind enough, patient enough to bring it to pass. If he brought forth his son after 4,000 years, in this seventh year, he will bring forth sons after his image and likeness. That is his plan. He wants to share everything with us. What a wonderful God, holding nothing back. And so man being in God's image, we also have the capacity to dream. Just like God has a dream, you also have a dream. You also have dreams that God has put in your heart, and some that have come into your heart. However, it is important to understand that it is the dream of God that must stand. It is the counsel of the Lord that must stand. Any other dream must be subject to God's dream. That's what God is saying to us today. Because our dream ultimately determines our end. So we can't just allow ourselves to dream. Look at Psalm 17 verse 15 quickly. As for me, let's read it together. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake.
with thy likeness. That's God's plan. Man in his image and likeness. He has not changed. And this is the main plan. And if you stay with this plan, all the other plans, let's call it sub-plan. The sub-plans will be fulfilled. If the main plan is the goal, that's the will of God. But if we don't do that, look at Psalm 73 verse 20. As a dream, when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. This will not be our portion in Jesus' name. There's some people that when some people are awakening unto glory, they are awakening unto condemnation. That's not our portion. Not in the resurrection, not now. Amen. And that's why God is doing this. Job 33, 14 to 18. Please give it to me in the Message Bible. God always answers one way or another. Even when people don't recognize his presence. In a dream, for instance, a vision at night, when men and women are deep in sleep, fast asleep on their beds. Next verse. Next verse. God opens their ears and impresses them with warnings that don't let this dream be the main dream. Let my own dream be the main dream. Next verse. To turn them back from something bad they are planning. Deliberately. Or from some reckless choice that they don't know where it's going to end up. Next verse. And to keep them from an early grave. We will not go to our grave early in Jesus' name. But this is the work God is doing. We must not frustrate the work he's doing. And from the river of no return. There is a river that is carrying people away. That came out of the mouth of the dragon. To carry away the woman. But Bible says that God created a place for her. And kept her. And the earth swallowed up the water. We must not live on the earth. We must live in the spirit. So what is God saying? God is saying that we must live our lives in the spirit, not in the flesh, so that we are always awake spiritually and not only physically. Look at Acts chapter 12, verse 8, and see an example of this in the life of Apostle Peter. Now let's go back to the King James, thank you. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself. And bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garments about thee and follow me. Giving him instruction. God has sent angels to you and I. Spiritual fathers. Who are beholding God by the mercy of God face to face. And they're giving instructions. We were sleeping before, but they woke us up. With the apostolic word of instruction. They woke us up. So we are no longer sleeping. But now it's time to obey instruction. And he says, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. Next verse. And he went out and followed him. And wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Initially, when you're obeying apostolic instruction, it is not very clear. The only reason you are doing it is because they said I should do it. And this is him. Thinking he's having a vision, but it's actually happening to him. So sometimes what is real and what is not real can be jumbled together. And you need the word of instruction to separate it for you. Next verse. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came into the iron gate that led into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. Hallelujah. The city of the firstborn. Amen. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. After doing the instruction over time. Next verse. And when Peter was come to himself. Stop. Wasn't he himself before? He was drunk. Now he was sober. Sometimes we are drunk on the ways of the world. We are drunk on the thoughts of the world. There is the Pied Piper, like mommy says, of Hamelin, that says people should sleep. Sleep. And we have to be awake so that we can understand and finish what God has asked us to do. Bible says, Peter was come to himself. He said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Lord will deliver you from all expectation of all your wicked enemies in the name of Jesus. But what is God saying here? God is saying that we need to come to ourselves and understand who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, what you can do with what you have in Christ, so that we don't sell our inheritance for a piece of pottage. Now, in the Old Testament, God used dreams a lot because of the sin nature, the fallen man. You know, I mean, that nature was there. So God had to come in a way that was visible through the senses, okay? And so that man could respond to him, man could perceive him, and man could respond to him. All right, he spoke to Abimelech, Genesis 23. We're not going to turn there for time. To warn him when he's about to take Sarai. He warned him, like it says in Job 33. Then he spoke to Jacob when Laban had oppressed him in Genesis 31, verse 10. And said, I'm going to turn it over to you, and this is what you're going to do. He spoke to him in a dream. Okay, and spoke to Joseph. We know the story. I had this dream. Then after I said, hey boys, that's not the last two. I had another one. And this one is even more than that. Now I saw the sun, the moon, and 11 of bowing down to me. That's full of wisdom. Amen. All right. But it was a dream. God talked to me through dreams. At the beginning, that's how it is. It is. God comes down at a level you can understand. But he's asking us to come up. We can't stay down. Amen. We see him from Solomon also, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5, in a dream. But with Moses, we see God introducing something different, even in the Old Testament, that is possible to see and fellowship with God face to face. Look at Numbers chapter 12, verse 6 to 8. We know the story. Miriam and Aaron come together and murmur. Moses married a black woman, a Cushite. Okay? And the Bible says the instruction was that they should not marry from any of that tribe. So they seized the opportunity to begin to talk above their pay grade. And they were saying, has God not spoken to all of us? Why is he exalting himself above all of us as a spirit of rebellion? And God answers. God came down very quickly. Very quickly. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him. How? In a vision. And will speak to him. How? In a dream. Next verse. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. Next verse. With him I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Verse 3 says, Moses was the meekest man on the earth. And that meekness was from fellowshipping with God on the mount. 40 days, first time. 40 days, second time. And then continuously. So he had, his likeness was changed. Bible says, Moses, verse 3 or 4, says Moses was gentle. He was meek. He was kind. The same Moses that killed an Egyptian had changed. Why? Fellowship. Face-to-face fellowship in God's presence. God is inviting you and I up into that presence so that we can also fellowship with God. So that when you fellowship with God, when things come against you, it is God that will fight your battle. And so, Moses, God appeared to him. Look at verse 9 and 10. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them and he departed. Next verse. And a cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Brethren, we are living in a time and an hour where rejection, consistent rejection of apostolic and prophetic instruction, is going to result in judgment. Summary judgment, where people are going to be leprous. We're going to see the judgment of God in a very clear way. They will be set apart because Miriam had to be set apart. That judgment is public judgment. Where did she say it? In her heart. The thing started in her heart, but the judgment was public. There are people that have said, nothing's going to happen. God, we are covered ourselves. We are God is going to, He is going to make their judgment public and expose them so that they will not be hid, as a lesson to others and as a sign. Because, you know, Moses was a standard. There is now a standard in the church, and God is still building it and raising it up. Amen. And once the standard is there, then the judgment has to fall. Amen. So we see that it's possible to discuss with, to have a relationship with God face to face. Now, it wasn't Moses alone that God intended. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 4. It wasn't for only Moses. It was Moses that took it up. The Lord, let's say 4 and 5, thank you. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord. For you are afraid by reason of the fire and went not up into the mount. May we not be afraid to go into the holiest of all. God is inviting us into the holiest of all. He's inviting us to face-to-face fellowship with Him. Amen? So don't stay. And that is what God wants to do. In our look at verse 5. Okay, that's 4 and 5 together. Thank you. All right. So why is it that God was swift to judge? Because Moses is actually a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. He was the standard. He was a forerunner, was a shadow of something that was coming greater than him. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. And the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet like unto the midst of a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him shall you hearken. Jump to verse 18 and 19. Verse 18 and 19. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee. And I will put what? My words in his mouth. Not vision, not dream. And he shall speak unto them all that I command him. Next verse. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto the words which shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. The time has come for some people now. God is requiring it of them. Brethren, we need to put our house in order. Because everybody has a time when God will require it. Like Pastor Dewey was preaching this morning so powerfully. You know, the Bible says, the word of the Lord tried him. Until his word came. There was a word he needed. It was a word. It's a word that will take you out of an experience. It's a word that will lift you up to promotion. You know, circumstances can, you shouldn't walk with circumstances. Because many times, they don't tell everything that is going on. When Joseph passed the test of Potiphar's wife, in the physical, he was demoted. In the spirit, he was promoted. And that promotion positioned him for the next thing he was going to do in the prison. To interpret the dream. And then he passed that test again. To look to others and not to himself alone. Walk on the dreams of others and not on himself alone. Team play. Not individual, not I. And then his own word now came. Amen. It started with a dream, but it ended with a word. It is with a dream, oh, that you, we all start with a dream in the sense that, it's not very real. The spiritual realm is not very real. It's like this is the real world. And that one is like a dream place. You only visit it occasionally in worship. Only visit it occasionally when you are in church. But that is the real place we should be living. And this world should be a dream. The physical things world should be a dream. That is the real place. Because that's the one that governs this realm. Amen. Okay, let's look at what the Lord Jesus Christ said. John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, is the word, hath everlasting life. How do you get born again? Do you see a vision? Do we see a vision? No. Was the word. You believe that word in your heart? That Jesus Christ came to die for your sins, went to hell, paid the price in your place, raised up on the third day to justify you. And when you believed and you spoke, you got born again. So why, where did we get the idea that the vision is stronger than the dream, is stronger than the word? Or that the dream is more important than the word? It's because of the senses, the carnal mind. And that's what he's saying there. And he says, he that believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Amen. Jump to verse 37 and 38. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, talking about face-to-face fellowship, nor seen his shape. And you have not his word abiding in you. That's what would have taken you inside. That's what should have taken you inside. But because you ignored that, you have deprived yourself of that deep fellowship in that presence. For whom he has sent, him ye believe not. Verse 38. Then let's jump to verse 46 and 47. Just quickly. For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? It's believing the word, brethren. It's believing the word of instruction and acting on it. That's what God is emphasizing to us today. It's believing instruction. You know, when you're walking on instruction, sometimes it looks as if nothing is happening. A lot is going on inside. Inside, and God is trying to emphasize that to us. Believing is what makes us pass from death to life. That's born again. Then, verse 40, go to give me verse 40. By believing, you also receive eternal life. Verse 40, this same John 5, in verse 40. And you have not his word abiding in you. And you will not come to me that you might have what? Life. So life is coming through the word. It's not in the written word, it's in the living word. But when you believe the written word, the living word gives you life. And that's what he was telling them. So we see that we pass from death to life. So we change state from not being born again to becoming born again. But in that state of being born again, you must still be receiving life. It's extremely critical so that you can perfect the love of God. Look at verse 42. All in this scripture. But I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. How can you have love of God in you? Because you didn't allow the life in you. Because you didn't receive the word he sent to you. We receive the word in Jesus' name. But what God is saying is that it is the word. It's the word. And that word ultimately brings us into rest. In Hebrews chapter 3, the Bible says, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Those that harden their heart, the Bible says that they know he said they always err, so they will not enter into my rest. That's not our portion in Jesus' name. We will hear the word and we will enter into rest. Amen. Rest is a state where the sin nature is totally removed. All right. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 and 12. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, which is a function of growth, I put away childish things. Amen? And this is the time to put away childish things and put on strength. And for now, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. That's the holiest of all. So we come from the outer court in dreams and visions to the holy place where we begin to see light through a glass darkly, but then we come to a place where there is all light and no darkness. Face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. That's going to be our experience in Jesus' name. That's what God wants for us, that we will know even as we will know Him even as we have been known. So that means we will yield ourselves to be known, and then we will know Him. Amen? That's the will of God for us, okay? So it's seeing brings knowing. As the more you see, the more you know. Because as you see, then God begins to take you into the experience of it, okay? Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 to 9 to 20. Ephesians 3. Let's read it together, brethren. That He will grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be what? Strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Next verse. That's the roadmap. As they was talking about roadmap in the morning, which mommy had spoken about. That's the roadmap where we start from. This is where we're going, fullness of God. And now unto Him. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Next verse. Unto Him be what? Glory. Hallelujah. Unto me what? Glory. Where? In the church. By Jesus Christ. Throughout all ages. World without end. Hallelujah. God is going to use you and me, all of us, as an instrument of glory. Glory that is not just in this life. Glory in this life. Glory in the life to come. He's talking about world without end. Give us this portion of scripture in the Message Bible. Let's read together in the Message Bible. I ask Him to strengthen you by His Spirit. Not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength. That Christ will live in you as you what? I can't hear you. As you what? Open the door and what? Invite Him in. And I ask Him that with both feet planted firmly on love. Next verse. You'll be able to take in, or with all Christians, the extravagant dimensions of God's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test the length. Plumb the depth. Rise to the heights. Live full lives. Live in the fullness of God. Next verse. God can do anything. You know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working how? Within us. His Spirit deeply and gently within us. God is working inside of us. As you pray, as you groan, that as you study the word and read your Bible, there is a work going on the inside. There's power coming out on the outside. And that power is going to come to a point where it's going to be exceeding, limitless, because you inherit the Spirit without measure. That's where God is going. Now, why is this message important? We must not let religious strongholds in the carnal mind hold us back from deep fellowship with God. Look at Psalm 94 verse 20. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Psalm 94 verse 20 in the King James. Now we... Psalm 94 verse 20. Lord. Amen. Give me verse 19. Yes. 18 to 20. Yes. When I said, my foot sleepeth, thy mercy did what? Thy mercy, O Lord, what? Help me. God's going to hold you up. He's holding you up. You're not standing by yourself. It is His mercy that is holding us up. Amen. So we have that security, that confidence. You can stand surely. Don't stand with one leg. Don't stand. Stand surely and secure. You are standing in the mercy of God. He will hold you up. Next verse. And then He will push you through, because He will take you to grace. Amen. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. He's describing fellowship with God. And then it goes to the next verse. What will hinder it? Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee? The answer is no. If there's iniquity in your soul, it's going to hinder fellowship. The degree of iniquity will hinder the degree of fellowship, which made me see by the law, the law of sin and death. So God is saying that we need to change. For example, if you look in the Bible, in the Old Testament, they had this idea that if they saw God, they would die. It's a stronghold. Moses saw God and came down with his face shining. Now we know, of course, that he didn't see God in his glory. He saw God's back, but he fellowshiped with God. That's the point. Just Christ said in John chapter 5, he said, you have not seen his shape. You have not heard his voice. Talking about deep fellowship inside. And so Moses did that and came out with his face shining. And when he came out, he put a veil when he was dealing with them. But when he went back to God, he removed the veil. And God wants us to bring God down to the ground floor. On the ground floor. And we will not remove the veil. We are going to remove every veil. We're not putting veil. So that they will see the fullness shining out and they will be attracted to that light. That's what God is saying. But also we must remove iniquity there. You know, we must remove, because that iniquity is God. Look at, for example, in Gideon, Gideon chapter 6, verse 22 and 23, you can see it there. And when Gideon perceived was an angel of God, God has a plan. He was doing something to deliver the Midianites. He has spoken to you. He has encouraged you. He has told you. And then Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord. Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Same thing with Manoah, Samson's parents. After discussing with them, they told the angel to come again. God sent the angel again. And the angel to do that. And then when the angel now went up in the fire, the man saw and said, Chineke, he was an angel. So that means that we're going to die. His wife said, come on. If he was going to kill us, would we be standing here now? It's a stronghold. There's some things that are strongholds in our lives. We should not let Satan use it to keep us in the outer court. I don't have time. I'm busy. Really? May God have mercy. Brethren, this is why you are created. What is your whole duty? Fear God. And keep his commandments. I didn't see work there. Work is not there. I didn't see family there. It's there, but it's not there. He's telling you priority. 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 Put the priority where it is. And all this traditional thinking and cultural thinking that we have done in our culture. And that's the will of God. No, God, whatever God wants to happen is what happens to us. Karma. Yes. We hear all this. You read them in books. And they come into your mind. Oh, that's karma. That's karma. Who said? It's the devil. And he signed up for it. You don't sign up for those. It's not my portion. You have to reject those traditions. The goal of the enemy is to make the spiritual realm very hazy. You know, very unsure, unclear. Anything can happen there, we don't know. It's a lie. It's a more precise realm than this realm. Yes? I want to prove to you, Jonah, in a storm, on a night, in the dark night, when there was no electricity, when there was no lamp, they threw Jonah overboard in a storm. Imagine the picture. Imagine when there's no light. Just imagine, you are on the high seas and the boat is going as if it's going to capsize. And the rain is, there's rain, there's storm, everything is looking as if it's going upside down. You've done what you can do and there is nothing working. And then they throw somebody overboard. And then he's picked up by a fish. The fish does not eat him. Big enough to carry a man. Guys, that is GPS tracking. That's GPS tracking. It's checking on the perimeter. Who is big enough in that area? Whale 212 is right there. Tell her to pick him up, but not eat. It's a pickup. It's not eating. Yes, got it. And got there, picked him up, and kept him. For 3 days. After Jonah cried out, the instruction came from heaven again. Talk to 212. And then to drop him off on the shore of Nineveh. If that is not God, I don't know what is. Give God the glory. That was in the Old Testament. Old Testament, brethren. Imagine what God's going to do in our own day. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's the God that we serve. So when you are looking at the Bible, like Pastor said beautifully this morning, look at the Bible. It's not just one book that they wrote years ago. It contains the secrets of the ages. Your life is coded in that book. Your destiny is written there in that book. Everything is coded. And if you walk out of it, there are contingency plans to get you back on track. That was a contingency plan to help Jonah see what God did. He had missed it totally. Satan was going to have him for lunch. God sent a whale. God will send a whale. Hallelujah. He will send you destiny helpers that will pick you up and put you back on track. If you listen, he will send you destiny helpers. Right place, mommy says, right place, right time, right people, right effect. The destiny helper that will take you away from God is not a destiny helper. It's a test. And it's not destiny helper. Destiny helper takes you to God's expected end. It doesn't just help you. It helps you according to God's expected end. Not just ordinary help. Amen. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So this is what God is doing. Chapter 5. Verse 1 to 5. Give it to me in the Message Bible for time. Message Bible. Thank you. For instance, we know that when these bodies of ours are taken down like tents and folded away, they will be replaced by what? Say it again. One more time. Resurrection body. There is a resurrection to fight for. There is good. There is better. There is best. Take your pick. All right. But there's one glory of the sun, one glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. But the reason is telling us that is with this body that we have. That's in that life, when we get there. But before then, you can have a body that is a superconductor of the life of God. It's available. So when you are reading resurrection body, that's in the future. Let's bring it to the present. Okay? Because that's what we're saying. Say they will be raised by resurrection bodies in heaven. God made, not handmade. And we will never have to relocate our tents again. Sometimes we can hardly wait to move. We want to change location from the temporary dwelling to the permanent one. So we cry out in frustration. Compared to what's coming, living conditions around here seem like a stopover in an unfurnished shack. And we are tired of it. you are going somewhere, you are traveling, and you have to stop because it's dark, and when you stop and in a place, and the place is so ramshackle, and it's not, but you are tired of it. That's what this life is all about. Some people are killing themselves over it. A stopover in an unfurnished shack, and people are dying for a stopover in an unfurnished shack. It gives you an impression of what the mansion is going to be like. If this, what is in this world, you can come in and use voice to activate your TV, fridge. Bible says it's a stopover in an unfurnished shack. It's a stopover. You have a private jet. It's a stopover, bros. It's a stopover. You have children, family. Praise God. Praise God. It's a stopover. What is an unfurnished shack? What would the real building be like? If this is the shack, that's what the Bible, this is the word of God. And we are tired of it. We've been given a glimpse of the real thing. That's Revelation. Our true home, our resurrection bodies. Next verse. Resurrection. Next verse. The Spirit of God whets our appetite by giving us a taste of what's ahead. He puts a little of heaven in our hearts so that we will never settle for less. Next verse. The Spirit of... up to verse 5. So that's what he's saying. So God gives us revelation knowledge. Okay? And that revelation knowledge is to understand that there is going to be a transformation of this natural physical body in this life. Where the Bible says in the King James, mortality will be swallowed up by life. Verse 4 in the King James. You can go back to the and just put it on. Verse 4 in the King James. That's what he's saying. So if so be that we will not be naked, we will be in burden. The Bible says not so that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. So that sin nature that brings mortality will be swallowed up. It will be replaced. Amen. They remove it and they put life in its place. Amen. Now, he that has wrought us for that self-same thing is God, who has also given unto us what? The earnest, that earnest of the Spirit, that praying in tongues, is the key to the fullness. So God gave us the earnest, to use the earnest to obtain the fullness. Amen? Now, next one. So the first reason is to understand that we must not let physical mindset, we must change our mindset so that the heaven goal is real. The second one is that it is time to put on strength. Isaiah 52, verse 1 and 2. Awake! Awake! Put on strength, O Zion! Put on thy beautiful garments, the garments of love, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Next verse. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Next verse. Amen. Okay. All right. So that just those two verses. But what he's saying is it's time to put on spiritual strength. It takes strength to put on those garments. That beautiful garment of love requires spiritual strength. In this time of adversity, our strength must not be small. Our strength must be much. Why? 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have what? Boldness. When? In the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. God wants us to have boldness, so that in this day, when judgment is falling, you and I can be secure in the love of God. So it is time to put on the strength and perfect the love. That's what God is saying. Amen? Okay. Now, in these perilous times, you know, it's perilous, it's also glorious times. Amen? The dominant force in the spiritual realm is what's going to determine what we are going to experience in the physical realm. Hallelujah. Amen? Look at Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. Give it to me. Give me from... We know. Let me just tell you. Go to verse 24. Let me just tell you the story. We know the story. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And asking people to interpret it. They cannot interpret it. So he sends for Daniel. And then he tells Daniel the dream. And enumerates the entire dream. About the tree. And what he saw and everything. And then Daniel now came and gave interpretation. Let's go to Jennifer. Let's go ahead and say, this is the interpretation, O King. And this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the King. Next verse. That they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. And they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. And seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High, what? Ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Next verse. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, the kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after thou shalt have known that the what? Heavens what? Do rule. We have come into a time where the heavens are ruling. It doesn't appear, but it is ruling. It is ruling. And you can see that the people that have the word are the ones that will correctly and rightly divide and interpret the dreams. Nebuchadnezzar had a problem. He had a dream. He didn't know the meaning. He took somebody with the word to break down the dream. That's why that's the superiority. You can see that they're not on the same level. The word interpreted. How do you know that the tree stump was tree? Bible says, blessed is the man. Isn't it? Who will not walk in the counsel of God. He shall be like a tree. So he knew from the word that tree is man. So he broke it down for him. You can see the superiority. This is time to walk in the light. It's time to not to be moving around with allowing yourself to be distracted by dreams and focus on the word. Give time to the word, because that's what you're going to use to unlock the different keys into the different aspects of your life. It's the word. Amen. That's the will of God for us. And what used to save before is not going to save again. Because we're in a new time. Look at Psalm 33, verse 16. Psalm 33. We are in a day where the prudent will keep silent. Bible says, there is no king save by the multitude of an host. Ordinarily, the multitude of a host will save you. But in a place where the heavens do rule, 317 men will defeat 5 kings. Abraham, when they had taken Lot away, went after them with 317 men trained in his own house. And with those 318 men, he defeated 5 kings who had just won a war against 4 kings and are taking spoil. Can you imagine that? Tells you that there is no king saved by the multitude of an host when the heavens are ruling. It's only when the heavens are not ruling that all these things can be going on. When the heavens rule, it's a different thing. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. He thinks he's mighty. He has done security. He has protected himself to his own mind. There are people that will climb up the wall like a thief in the night. Yes, Joel's army. Hallelujah. There's no protection from that army. So he's telling you that things have changed. He said, a horse is a vain thing for safety. Helicopter, armed guards, security is a vain thing. If God does not protect, those things cannot protect. They are only subsidiary. If when God's protection is there and then they are there, then thank God. Amen. But on their own, he's telling you that it's a vain thing. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength, even though he has great strength. Behold, what will deliver? The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. Upon them that what? Hope in his mercy. Hallelujah. That's what God is saying. Let's read the next verse. Next verse. To deliver their soul from death. Yes, you will not die. But more importantly, he will deliver your soul from the sin nature that brings death. Amen. To keep them alive in famine. When there's a famine of the word of God, you'll be growing fat spiritually. That's the will of God. He will satisfy you with his likeness. Thank you, sir. Our soul waited for who? The Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Amen. That's what God is saying. So this is not a time of depending and making all of your plans without asking God. It is a time where you process things with God. And then you now, based on what God is saying, you make your plan. Amen. How? These are things we already know by the grace of mercy. We're all taught in this house. How do we do it? By choosing the fear of God daily, filling our hearts with God's life, so that we can perfect God's love in our lives every day, inherit his fullness, and demonstrate his glory. So I'm not saying anything. So by choosing his fear, filling our hearts with his life every day, so that we can pray, perfect that love, and that brings us to a place where we inherit the fullness and demonstrate the glory. So how do we start? Number one, it was the blood of Jesus. We confess our sins, not just at the morning in the beginning, but all through the day. Be quick to confess our sins. Amen. And this is where we can also, like the Bible says, them that hope in his mercy. Because the mercy of God, like Pastor Dewey taught us one Wednesday, activates the blood of Jesus. Amen. By faith. Bible says, I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. So mercy activates the blood of Jesus. So Lord, have mercy on me. You've activated the blood. Amen. And that blood you've activated now allows us to come into God's presence, so we can now fill our hearts with the life of God. Now, this is a very important principle that we need to understand. No, the life of God is not an experience. The life of God is a substance. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. We know this in this house, but it's important to go over it. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. As what is the that is the effect of the life. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises of life, that you may be partakers of life, the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. How are we going to escape? Life. Faith in life. And using that scripture. So it's not an SBC doctrine. Check it. Berean Christian, check it. Does the scripture say so? The Bible says, quicken me, strengthen me, gird me with strength. In the Psalm, is that your own Bible or just their own Bible? Is it in the Word? If it's in the Word, the Bible says, I'm come that they might have life. Who put that there? Jesus. And have it more abundantly. Can't run away from it. It's important. Because it is the sufficiency of that strength, that life that comes in, that now enables you to go into certain levels of warfare that you have not been able to go into, to cleanse out the sin nature that is in the soul and body. It takes strength to war. Time to put on strength. That strength comes from faith in the life of God. Amen. And you know, so we do that to come to God's presence, receive the life, and then by conscious dependence on God's mercy, we exercise our hearts in honesty and humility. That's the fear of God, you know, and godly instruction. Look at Acts 24:16. This is extremely important. Herein do I exercise myself. So God is not looking for instant perfection. He's looking for exercise. Practice, instant practice, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. Amen. All right. So it is this exercise in the heart and in action that brings us under covering of spiritual kings set up in Zion. But today was talking about covering in the morning. No, that covering is meant to protect. Is available. God has put it there. Jesus had Simeon and Anna to pray and provide that covering. That covering is there to protect. But you come under it by that exercise of the heart. That exercise of heart to walk in honesty, walk in humility, that brings you under covering. Okay, it's very important to understand. And then, of course, we have to read our Bibles, obey apostolic teaching and preaching at least once a week. Okay? I mean, we read. And then we find time to study as well. We taught this morning. So we pray for the fear of God. We pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 19. Let's look at that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Next verse. That the eyes of your understanding, being what? Enlightened. That you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us what who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. This keeps you awake. Well, this opening of our eyes, enlightenment of our eyes, it makes us awake in the spirit realm. We are now conscious of spiritual realities and the implication of decisions and actions that we take. That ordinarily we would not have just taken without thinking. But because of that light, we now begin to see wisdom is the principal thing. Like mommy was sharing, it's the principal thing. The Bible says, no, it's profitable to direct. So, like mommy shared, you know, we should look for wisdom in areas of our lives. Apply wisdom here with my children. Apply wisdom here with my work, with my business. It's the wisdom of God that we need. And that's the Spirit. So we pray for it every day. Amen. We pray for more of the fruit of the Spirit. At least we know do that every 6 hours at every opportunity. That's so that we are not awake. We are actually now walking the love of God. And so there is no need to fear because we are perfecting the love of God. So there is no fear in love. And then we pray with travail to cleanse out that sin nature that is in the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. And allow Christ to be formed in our flesh. Look at Galatians chapter 4, 19. Galatians 4:19. Thank you. So we cleanse out and we form. Cleanse out and form. Cleanse out and form. So there is a forming. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed. Christ being formed is a progressive thing. The more you cleanse out, then the more you form and replace. So the form that Christ now replaces what was cleansed out. So that there's a progressive until there is no more sin. And it is all Christ in the soul and in the flesh. It is then that the glory that transcends what we have. Bible says God can do more than you can guess. God says guess. Guess what I can do. Your wildest guess cannot compare to what God can do. But it is locked up by getting out this sin nature, making God's dream our primary dream. Let us pray. Eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of them what God has prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed them to us. Hallelujah. There is a wisdom from the throne that has revealed all things. If you are praying, if you're in the Word, when you need to know, God will get across to us. He reveals them to us by His Spirit so we can enter into it. And He uses the Word. Invest time in the study of the word. Invest time in prayer. You're not wasting time. No. You are investing in the real life. Let's stand up on our feet. You are beautiful beyond description.
It's marvelous.
Too marvelous for words.
Too wonderful
for comprehension. You're like nothing ever seen. Oh,
who can grasp
your infinite wisdom?
And
who can fathom the depths of your love? You are beautiful beyond description. Majesty enthroned above. Oh, we stand in awe of you. We stand in awe. Lord, I stand, sing it as a prayer, in awe of my Lord, I stand, in awe of you, oh holy God,
to
all praise. I stand in awe of you. Let's raise up our right hand in faith. Put our left hand on our heart. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And has shown me that it is your desire. It is your will. It is your dream for me to be clothed with your likeness, with your fullness, and with your glory. Heavenly Father, I ask for mercy. Give me daily the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, so the eyes of my understanding will continually be enlightened to see further and deeper through your word into my prophetic destiny. So I will be awake spiritually, and I will walk in the reality of the experience of your word, causing your dream to come to pass in my life and the life of my household, in the name of Jesus. Have mercy on me. Help me, Lord, to fear you and to hope in your mercy from the beginning unto the end. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Rapakatonde, jenge de vebedi kantamba, ranse bosefte fenikantoa banke kompakasante, rapakatoba, zepreketona, lebebebebedika, rapakato sendea, yewobababat, mabakotere, rubabobobobobobosa, rebebebebebe, rapakatobesa. In Jesus' name, amen. The word has gone forth in faith. Now, let's tap into it by faith. Not the circumstances now, by faith. The Bible says, he sent his word. And he healed them and he delivered them from the destruction. He confirmed the word with signs and wonders under the covering of our fathers. Tap into that word. You have a need. Touch God. Touch the hem of his garment and receive your healing. That need being met, the peace of God that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, we're so grateful. Thank you for your, once again, you chose to honor the prayers of the fathers, bringing, Lord God, your presence to the tabernacle with us throughout the service, speaking to us expressly through your servants by your word, transforming us from within, causing us to be more like the Son, the Lord Jesus. We are grateful, Lord, for it is not everywhere that you choose to manifest your presence and your power and your word like this. We want to thank you for the fathers and their prayers. We thank you for honoring them and for honoring us. And we return all the glory and all the praise unto you. We say, Lord, we will, Lord God, awaken your likeness. We will be unsatisfied with anything less than to see your glory made manifest. Thank you for the privilege. Thank you, Lord God, for the honor. Thank you for showing us things to come even before they happen, so you can key in by faith. We're so grateful, Lord. And so under the covering of the fathers, under the lordship of the Lord Jesus, the shepherd and bishop of our souls in this house, we declare and say, may the Lord bless and keep us all. The Lord make his face to shine upon us. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us. The Lord our God gives us peace. And God makes us head and not tail. We are above only and not beneath. And so we prosper in all that we set our hands upon to do. We are at least 10 times better than our peers by an ever-increasing enlightenment of our minds in the name of Jesus. And so we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death, so we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. Yes, the Lord satisfies us with long life, and he shows us his salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ, and the manifestation of the glory of the Spirit without measure, in Jesus' name. And so the Lord anoints us afresh with the anointing of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, Paul, of John, and of the fullness of Christ, in Jesus' name, amen. And share the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forevermore, in Jesus' name, amen. Tell anybody you will get to the other side, and no bones shall be broken, in Jesus' name. God bless you. Thank you.